This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
cut on every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And as they say on the farm, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. It is DiPietro. It is Rothenberg with you. So much going on. I've got good news and I've got bad news. Guess who you get today? He is back in the mix. Here he is, the one, the only, Rick DiPietro. Good morning and welcome, Rick.
Finally, Dave, Rick has come back to DNR.
Oh, thank
goodness. This is what I have to do for the show, though, Dave. This is what I have to do. I'm listening to the show. Rick's under the weather. The family's under the weather. That wasn't the case at all. Rick actually had to drive the whipped cream down to Mel Kiper Jr. That's where I was for the week.
Just a full road trip.
I left Monday after the show. I went to go mail it. I got the whipped cream, really? I said, you know what? Forget this. I'm not going to be mocked for sending a big, giant box of whipped cream anymore. I'm going to drive down and hand deliver it myself.
Nice. And Mel is fully ensconced. Now, I haven't talked to RJ, but last I did, we were working on getting Mel for hopefully tomorrow, maybe Friday. Like wheels were in motion. So, RJ, where are we with that?
So we're in a troubling place.
Oh, come
on,
RJ.
It better not be, because I'll drive back. I will drive back down there and
oh, no,
back
not another week.
Cream.
Not another week.
I will take back that whipped cream.
So I sent an email.
Yeah.
We acknowledged. No, no. Well, we acknowledged that likely Tuesday would be the day.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Right. But then I followed up yesterday. I went, you know, let me give Mel some space. Follow up yesterday. Hey, Mel, Tuesday, really any day. You name the day. That one has gone unresponded to.
Well, when did he receive that?
So that was yesterday. So maybe he was just so knee-deep in emails. And
at what point yesterday?
I'd say probably about 11 a.m. or so.
All right. I think you're fine.
You think?
Okay. Yeah. It's a Sunday. Maybe the guy gets a lot of email. Maybe he's not just checking his email nonstop on a
Mel,
Sunday.
Mel, you go through a can a day of whipped cream?
Yeah. Yeah.
I am confident he'll get back.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely whipped cream.
No, no, you so better be more than confident. He better be on the show tomorrow. Better be.
Oh, my
be.
Goodness.
The hoops I had to jump through, the ridicule I received for the amount of whipped cream being sent to Mel. Like, unless he's on a whipped cream bender right now because I sent him so much. Like, he better, and he's not even going to the draft. He better be on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, so the plan's gone.
I don't blame you for feeling that way. And the thing I did also is that, and I actually asked Ange when I was sending it, I acknowledged the whipped cream delivery in the email.
That's very smart of you.
I just want it out there, you know.
Yeah, right. Mel, you know what we've done for you. Yeah. Now it's time. You know what? Now it's time.
We're pushing our chips to the middle. We need to cash in now.
And I got to be honest with you, I'm not looking for solely a Tuesday. I want a Tuesday, Friday.
That's not too much to ask.
No.
Because at some point I'll be investigated. I feel like that's the next step here, me being investigated, because, I mean, you should have seen the pushback sending the whipped cream. Because the lady recognized me. She's like, again? You need to send more whipped cream? And I tried to explain it to her, and she wasn't buying any of it.
So,
I said, listen.
So she thinks you're doing – what does she think? She thinks there's not whipped cream? She thinks that you are some kind of a fetish guy?
No, like
you're
a drug mule?
Huge
like
amounts of whipped cream?
There could be huge amounts of drugs being sent. She can't believe that someone would go through this much whipped cream. She's like, you're sending this much? As she waited. She's like, how much whipped cream is in here? I said,
do they
enough.
Look? Oh, they're like, let's open up this box with you.
I wouldn't
right
be surprised. But I could get a knock on the door. Like, I could get the DEA might rip me right out of the house.
Newman
at some point.
Might knock on the door.
Now, people are upset. They can't
you're
believe
gonna, you're
that
you're
going to
walk into the post office next time and your picture's going to be on the wall. Have you seen this man? with whipped cream in the grocery store.
The second I roll in with the box, I get jumped at the door.
By the way, you don't know what how much of the show did you listen to last week?
Little bits and pieces.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't listen to a lot because you weren't feeling well, really. I mean, that was the truth. But what was I going to say? I had something to say.
No, I'll tell you what. Okay, hold on. Collect yourself. Get your thought. This is definitely not happening, by the way, and I heard this. And this is your new thing to drive me crazy. I'm sick. The kids are sick. More importantly, the kids are sick. Is I'm hearing, okay, now what we're doing is the Iron Man show. No, it's not happening, buddy.
No, I think it's great.
Oh, no.
Now, you know what makes it great for management is they don't need to hire anybody. Is they don't need to find that fill-in. I'm out. You fill in. You're out. I fill in. That way you get one of us every single day of the year.
No, they'll still have one of us. I'll be on the show. I will not be driving the show.
So you're going to take Gordon, who hates you?
No, I will not. No, I'm not taking Gordon. I'd rather have Ty drive. And you know how I feel about Taekwondo.
I mean, you're not going to get a word in.
Which is perfect. It's like a day off.
So I think we do the Iron Man show. If I'm not here, no. You just do the show. You could do it. RJ has confidence you could do it.
No. Here's the thing. I could do it. I've done it before. Not by myself. I've driven
a solo show?
No, I haven't had to do solo shows. Like I told you, the locker room, I drove it by myself in a studio with, I had, you know, someone in LA, I had someone in Chicago, and I made my way through that. I did a couple weeks of shows with Hainsey where I drove the show, and Hainsey was my co-host. I drove a show with Dan Graziano, which didn't go great, but I drove it. Here's how I know that it probably won't go well if I drive it by myself, is because you said this, and this is why I'm always listening, that on vacation, when you never listen on vacation, I'll say, hey, no. Dave, you listen to the show? No, I'm on vacation. Then you would set your alarm for 4:55.
Yes. If you were doing a solo show, I would set my alarm and make sure I listened to the entire thing. Top of the morning.
This is why it's not happening.
This is a nice tweet from Ella Kay. That's very appropriate for you. Turned on the radio 5 a.m. Was so happy to have the D back.
Everyone needs a D once in a while.
She says everything is better with the D. Love the R, but the D makes it so much better.
I've heard that a lot.
So
it's not the first time I've heard that.
Now, so I don't know if you heard this. So RJ was, there were times both of them were nasty to me. Like flat out nasty. You know what I did? During the 5
nice?
O'clock hour?
Were you nice to them?
I was very nice last week. Super nice last week. I blew off the 5:30 break.
I did hear that. I did. You just missed it. You completely ran right through a break. I heard that.
Well, I did, but I intentionally did it.
No, I know, because that's who you are. Just because, you know, RJ's head would explode if he did it.
I know. He was very upset. He said he got emails and calls and everything after the show. So I don't know if you want to continue with that, but it's an option. There's a lot on the table, by the way. The Nets are just an embarrassment. Ben Simmons is a joke. Yankees seems like they've righted the ship. Gerrit Cole, outstanding yesterday. Some of the fans in right field, an embarrassment. Mets continue to chug along here. I mean, welcome back. And you know what else? And this, to me, is the best and the brightest. It is draft week. We are now fully ensconced in draft week. So talk about a timely taking the week off to where we are now. Wow. You got a week, my friend.
No, we're locked and loaded. And I can't. I mean, there's only so many days I can let you run amok the way you ran amok.
I thought I did a very nice job.
No, I mean, you took some liberties. I mean, you skipped an entire break. I mean, I'm back. Keep you in check.
So you're going to make sure that at 5:30 we're just, let's break. Like, that's bland. That's boring.
No, whose idea?
Let's live a little.
Listen, I was doing commercial-free radio. That was my idea. No one wants to buy into that. I say we just roll.
The whole show? Like just right now until 7:59?
Straight through. I mean, we got draft talk. We got Mets win another. I mean, you name it, we got it. Dave Gettleman, the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh,
love that.
I mean, I can't tell you how much I despise Dave Gettleman. I can't even say on the radio how much I dislike Dave Gettleman. But you got to make sure, let him bring his family and friends, go out with dignity and class at the end. That's what we need to do.
It must kill you every day you wake up and look in the mirror. I'm like, oh, young Dave Gettleman just staring you right back in the face. Let's focus on some positives. Come on. Ease me in.
I'm done.
No, you're not done.
I'm not. You know what? You didn't miss me at all.
9 minutes. That's all it took. Nine minutes.
I mean, 9 minutes. I was nine. Welcome back. So happy to have you back. Hope you're well. I'm checking in every day. And I'm respectful because you get the check-in people who are checking in like five times a day. I don't want to be that guy. So I intentionally, I'm like an maybe every day, maybe every other day. But you get like Santiago, I think, was over the top, like you know, 3, 4, 5 texts back and forth. I know what it's like. When you don't feel well, you don't want to be bothered and have to respond to people. So
thank
I thought I was
for
very
being
respectful.
A friend.
9 minutes?
All it took was 9 minutes for you to
Nine minutes?
the Iron Man streak last 9 minutes. That's it.
I mean, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger last week. I got all the weight in the world on my shoulders. Can you do this? Don't worry, I got it. Can you do this? Don't worry, I got it. You're back. Rick, when I'm at, you're going to do the show solo. No, I won't do that. I can't do that. And you have no respect for me that 9 minutes in?
Do it. Come on. Do it now.
They're trying to set me up. And don't give Santiago a hard time. He was great. RJ was great.
They're
you
great.
You checked in. Kay checked in. LaGreca checked in.
Hurley. As they should. But I'm just saying, I really attempted to not be that guy that was doing so many check-ins. You're like, oh, God. Because I know what it's like. I was just there.
No, you were nice. But that's why we're best friends, though, because you get it. You get it. Like, I mean, hey, how you doing? I've been better. Okay, I'll check in later.
Exactly. I don't want to be, all right, tell me more. But at 5:09, you make sure. Take out the big guns.
You I got a beautiful freak. edible arrangement from the bosses.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Edible
you
arrangement.
You did not.
I did. I got an edible arrangement.
No, you did not.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
You got an edible arrangement?
Edible arrangement. Some nice fruit. Chocolate-covered strawberries.
They gave you an edible arrangement?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. I got COVID.
Yeah.
I was sick as a dog. I had 104 for like 5 days. I got nothing.
Oh, how do you know that? RJ sent you protein bars. We don't even know if you got them. Your birthday gift apparently was sent and delivered like a month ago. You can't find it. I mean, you got to... If your neighbor has it, I promise you right now, if your neighbor in your cul-de-sac has your birthday present that I already paid for and has been holding it hostage for a month, I am going to drive to Westchester and there's going to be issues.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
But I would welcome
maybe the
that.
Horses. Maybe the horses that Ray and I rented for when the Cowboys were going to win the Super Bowl, maybe I use one of those.
Cowboys win the Super Bowl. That's rich.
And I ride up like Billy the Kid right to his front door.
Good. Good. I hope you do. I can't believe they sent you an edible arrangement.
Yeah, edible arrangements, some cookies.
That, you know, and it's obvious. I mean, because you're the guy that
bouquet
when your contract
flowers?
Was expiring gets a handwritten love letter from the boss. Dear Richard, whatever you do, please
no,
don't.
No, that's too formal. It was Rick.
It was, dear Rick, whatever you do, don't leave us. We're here for you. Anything that you possibly need, edible arrangements, large volumes of whipped cream, whatever it happens to be, we will take care of that. All the best, ESPN management. I'm out with COVID. It's like, Dave, what's your fever today? 104. You think you can work tomorrow?
Well, I mean, that's how valuable you are, though, isn't it?
And we'll find out. we'll find
you want
out.
Me to send you some of the arrangement?
No. No, I hope you choke on them.
I got some melon.
I got some melons. All of a sudden, it's like Hawaii in your house. It's like, oh, Ella, you gotta try this. Oh, that's the juiciest mango I've ever had. Oh, Cass, come here. The pineapple is vibrant. You want to? Here's what you do: spray a little whipped cream on the pineapple. Oh, delicious.
No, Cass got a bouquet of flowers.
Please tell me she didn't.
Oh yeah,
you're so full of it.
I promise you. It came with the arrangement.
Stop it.
I'm telling you.
Dude, I don't know whether this is true or not. You're telling me you received a edible arrangement, and in the arrangement was a bouquet of flowers.
And cookies. Oh, yeah.
I would like a photo of the scent.
I promise you.
I'll tell you what. Clearly, I could do the show by myself. Go. If it takes you 10 minutes and you miss the next segment, fine. Go take a photograph, please. Of the edible arrangement. I would like to see it.
Well, no, the edible arrangement's not here anymore. I mean, we ate the edible arrangement.
Well, I'd like to see the flowers.
Okay, I'll send you a picture of the flowers.
RJ, edible arrangement, sent or not sent? True or not true?
I think true.
Very true.
I think true.
With cookies.
Yeah.
And flowers. It was beautiful. Gorgeous.
I give up. I absolutely give up. Really. I give up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I was ill. Christmas time. They don't do anything. Nothing. You're not well. April, and all of a sudden, was it a new policy? Now someone gets sick? I'm sure Don got nothing. I got to reach out to Don and see if he got anything.
I bet Michael got something.
Michael had like the sniffles. Was out for like 2 days.
Stop it. Michael had COVID too.
No, but he wasn't that sick.
Well, but don't.
He wasn't Don level sick. He wasn't me level sick.
Shut up, you big baby.
Well, let's not start ranking how sick everybody was.
I'm just saying. So I got to find out. This basically defines how they look at the power ranking at the station.
Dead.
I got nothing. That goes without saying. You get a gorgeous arrangement, and now we'll find out what those two guys get. I would bet you Don, nothing, Michael, something. I'll find out.
Well, they understand, though. When mom gets sick, too, then I mean, that's when all hell breaks loose.
Sherry had COVID also.
Well, yeah. But
Sherry
listen,
had COVID.
I can't explain it. Maybe they sent you something, you didn't get it.
No. Stop defending these people.
You're very valuable.
Animals. They're savage animals. All right. The Nets stink. I don't know what else to say. They are embarrassing is what they are. To go out there, give you that performance. I've never seen Durant thrown out of his game the way he's been thrown out of his game. Kyrie had one good game, and now let the excuses commence with the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of excuses. Plenty. But, I mean, again, I mean, how could you feel bad for the Nets?
Oh, I didn't say I feel bad.
Well, no, it's funny. Just listening to people talk about how this team's being out-coached. You can't blame Steve Nash for that. I mean, Steve Nash is what he is. You blame the organization for this. You blame Kyrie and KD for this. This is what they wanted.
They fought for Steve Nash. He's the guy that will get us to the promised land. Why? Because he won't make us run.
Well, he was on the same level, right? He was on their same level because he had played.
He gets us, right.
So, yeah, I don't feel bad for them. And just think about the series, though. I mean, go back to games 1 and 2. End of game 1, you got a 3-point lead. We saw that ended up. Right, Jaylen Brown.
3-point lead with what, 45 seconds to go, and you lost it in regulation, correct?
Yeah, and then you had a 17-point lead in the first half of game 2.
And you lost by what, 8-10 points in game 2?
You ended up losing that game. And then
gagged on that. And that's when Kyrie and Durant combined 1 for 17 in the second half.
Yeah, see, and I didn't understand that game too. I know I wasn't on, but like that whole, you know, Kyrie after that game talking about how he was going to be docile and everything else. What were you trying to prove a point? Because you got fined? Like, what were you trying to do?
I don't know. I don't know what goes through his head. He's one of the few that I can't analyze. I don't want to analyze.
It's amazing. They show video of him walking into Barclays for game 3, and he looked miserable. Miserable. Like, had no interest in being there at all, which is sad because he's, I mean, talent-wise, he's one of the best there is. But, I mean, you mentioned it, KD, and you heard some of the excuses after the game from Steve Nash. You know, he misses 21 games, he comes back, and instantly he's playing over 40 minutes a night. Right? Coming back from a knee injury, 40 minutes.
Yep.
And let's face it, if your team is a championship-level team, do you need Kyrie and KD to play 40 minutes a night
just
to get
yourself?
No, you shouldn't, right?
You certainly shouldn't. I mean, maybe one of them will have to play 40 minutes every other night, right? Like game one, Kyrie, you got to go 40. Kevin's going to go 34 or vice versa game two. But every night they both have to play 40 is awful. Now, I think this is really good sound. Let's take a listen. Steve Nash saying KD and Kyrie are absolutely exhausted.
I mean, they both got to be tired. I mean, Kyrie's fasting and Kevin's had to play 40 plus minutes for 5-6 weeks after missing 6-7 weeks. We need him to play 40 minutes or we wouldn't be in the playoffs, or at least we'd be in 10th in the play-in. So I'm sure that's taken a big toll on Kevin. He's carried a huge burden for us for weeks on end. You know, Kyrie as well, since he's been playing home and on the road and fasting is, you know, it can't be easy.
Now, I know you do remember 2 weeks ago when we had the conversation and people called us yelling at us because I was at least I'd say very intrigued about the fasting, and it didn't make sense how this guy could go out there and play 40 minutes with no food and no water. And you said the same way, kind of analyzed it. People called us, you know what? I mean, it's not that big a deal, guys, right? Akeem used to do it. It's really not that big a deal. It seems like maybe it is kind of a big deal, huh?
I think it is a big deal. I mean, I think the reason why we were so intrigued was because game one was at 3:30, remember?
Absolutely. And game one, it was his best game.
No, I mean, and Steve Nash echoed what we said, too. Steve Nash is like, listen, when I don't eat before I go play tennis, I feel like I'm going to fall down. So, I mean, to play, you know, the amount of minutes that Kyrie, I mean, he played 43 in game three, like that he's going to need to play for us to win, which, again, I mean, shouldn't necessarily be the case. Obviously, in the playoffs, your best players are going to play. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is when you look at where the series is at, and who knows if they have enough pride to fight their way back and try to win this game tonight.
What would you think tonight? Enough pride? I would say no.
No, I would. I mean, you heard Blake Griffin after the game. I mean, he didn't think their spirit was right in a must-win game. I mean, Kyrie, listen, it got to the point where Frank Isola after the game was talking about there's got to be something wrong with KD. In a must-win game or the series is over because no one's ever come back from 3-0 down, KD took 11 shots, Dave. 11.
So is that where we are now? We're gonna start with D. Well, there's obviously something wrong. I'd tell you what's wrong. Boston's defense is wrong. I've never seen him played like this before.
No, I understand that, and he looks discombobulated, but, I mean, 11 shots? I mean, Durant and Kyrie took less shots than Jason Tatum took. Combined.
Yeah, no, I know. He outscored the both of those guys combined.
Yeah, I mean, then you want to sprinkle in Jaylen Brown into that mix. And, I mean, you can't win games like that. You can't.
Well, that's why they're staring 3-0 in a sweep, which would be just a grotesque season for them. Here is Durant. What's wrong in this series?
Losing, just not making the right decisions. It's a lot of but overall, we're just losing.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Well, 21 turnovers. That's not going to help, especially when Boston gets 37 points off those turnovers.
How many did they have in game three? How many turnovers?
21.
I mean, come on.
37 points the Celtics scored off those turnovers.
I mean, 21 turnovers is a
loser basketball.
All right, you ready for this? This is games two and three, because that's my role in the show, outside of getting delicious fruit arrangements and flowers and cookies, is to give you some stats. The fourth quarter's in games two and three. This is games two and three. KD, 1-for-6, 10 points. Kyrie, 2-for-8, 4 points.
Poof.
That's not gonna. I mean, that's just not gonna get it done.
You're not gonna win. There is absolutely no chance that you're gonna win games. What a disappointment, though, huh?
And every time they looked like, I mean, there were moments in that game, right? Like, I mean, there were moments later in that game where they would cut it to 5, but then, you know, Jaylen Brown would hit a big 3. But there was that one sequence, I think, in that game that kind of just sums it up for me the best with what this Nets team is, was when you had that sequence where you finally cut it to 4. Jaylen Brown breaks down your defense, dishes it to Tatum. Tatum hits the corner 3. And then you have another play where Boston scores, and then timeout. And then Bruce Brown turns the ball over out of the timeout. And Tatum goes in, lays it in, gets fouled by Durant for the N1. It's like, I mean, come out of a timeout?
Yeah, that's what they are. They're a bad team. They're poorly coached. They're overplaying their guys. They are not good. I don't know how many teams they would actually beat in the first round.
You know that Kevin Durant took his first free throw attempt with 5.5 minutes left to go in that game?
In what, game three?
Game three. Five and a half minutes.
He took a million in game two.
He had 20 in game two. Didn't take his first until 5.5 left in the game. Yeah. How is that possible with how physical they're playing him?
I don't know. Well, I get, listen, the officiating is working out towards Boston's favor. Here is Kyrie. Apparently, this is going to anger us. This team hasn't played that many minutes together this season.
We're all just trying to gel, and usually you're gelling around the right time, and that team in the other locker room is gelling at the right time. They've been gelling since Christmas. So for us, we're just in a new experience as a group, and we just got to respect that and just, you know, bring everything we can to this next game and just do one possession at a time. You know, I don't want to be too cliche, but I don't have a lot of answers for how you make up time, you know, from October until now when, you know, usually teams would be gelling and things would be feeling good.
Oh my God! Why are they not gelling? The guy didn't play almost the entirety of the season.
It's all self-inflicted, man. Outside of KD's knee injury, there's nothing you can do about that.
I mean, the whole Harden thing, the Kyrie thing.
Now this Ben Simmons debacle.
The Ben Simmons debacle,
which is an embarrassment.
The Nash as a coach. I mean, they've done all of this to themselves.
All of it. And now we'll try. Desperation. We'll throw in Blake Griffin.
Yeah. Well, because they have no answers.
Well, he's got no answers. He's got zero. Why LaMarcus Aldridge isn't playing? He's got nothing. They have no idea. They're outmatched. They're outclassed. Boston's a better team. It's embarrassing. Oh, if we get Ben Simmons back in game four, because God forbid he plays game three. He can play game four on Monday, but God forbid he sprinkles in some minutes in game three on Saturday.
Right, but he can't even play game four because I guess he worked out hard and now his back is sore.
And they were surprised, though. That's the key word. Let's not surprised and disappointed. Surprised.
Here's my question for you. And by the way, I think
why are you sitting on the bench?
Again?
Well, why are you sitting on the bench if you're back? I mean, if you have a back problem, why are you sitting on the bench?
Right. No, listen, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think he wants to play.
I think that's pretty evident, man. I mean, what's the worst? Your season's on the cusp right now.
And what's the worst thing that happens? Now, if they said to him, listen, if you go out there and you play, you might be shut down for months. You could do real damage. Okay, fine. But if it's a pain tolerance thing, go out there and try. And if you're 8 minutes in and you can't do it, you can't do it. But give us something.
Well, I mean, but you're gonna go get it fixed then, right? Like, I'll get it fixed. I mean, if it's something that needs to be fixed, get it fixed.
Does it need, sir? I don't even know if it needs.
Well, who knows?
To be fixed.
It was fine apparently when they traded for him, right? Because he's got to go through the physical to approve the deal, right?
So right. Wasn't an issue. It wasn't an issue until it was like, all right, he can come back. Well, no, he can't come back because the back's now a problem.
Guy hasn't played since June 20th.
Right. So we are more than 10 months into this charade.
And then you're getting dressed up and you're wearing sunglasses on the sideline. Like, listen, I'm all about fashion and everything else, man. But there are times and places to have to be so focused on how you look. Like you're on the bench. People are already questioning whether or not you want to play. I mean, you're talking about how, I mean, here's another one. This is my favorite. Well, you haven't played since June 20th. Of 2021, you haven't played a game with this Nets team, and now all of a sudden you're going to throw yourself into what could be a win or go home situation in game four. How are you going to do it? Well, it's funny that you ask. My IQ is so high that to play with guys like Kai, Seth, and Kev, I know how they want to. Okay, all right.
You want to hear that one? This is a beauty.
Oh,
this is a beauty. By the way, before we play that one, you're now in. We've gone past the line of demarcation. There is no breaking now. We're taking it right to 555. So welcome aboard to this little debaucherous game that we play. It's fun, isn't it? It's risque, as RJ would say, and it's fun.
Well, this is RJ wants to challenge us with risque things.
And welcome aboard.
Let's get risque.
This is risque.
Let's
this
go.
Is very
you
want to
go? Let's go. We'll go all the way.
I have a big one. All the way to 555. All the way.
Good thing I ate all that edible arrangement.
Oh, look at what has happened.
Did you have any this morning?
No, I did not have any this morning. A little early.
Was there any left, or is it all finished? The food portion is all finished up.
No, there's some cookies, and we have there's some chocolate covered strawberries and some nice.
Give me my little cookie.
It's unbelievable. Because those things are expensive, and with the way you make it sound, that's probably a couple $100 of a package.
Oh, package was terrific. Had melons and pineapple and chocolate covered strawberries.
Now, let me ask this:
assortment of cookies.
Oh God! What kind of cookies? Chocolate chip cookies.
There was some Snickerdoodles.
Forget about what are those? The Dositos?
No Dositos.
No.
I
hope there's some oatmeal raisin in there.
Nothing expired either. Everything was just fresh.
Fresh and beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Now, was this sent via Good Karma Brands, who's just taken over and is now running point on the station, or is this sent by like Ryan and John?
No, it was not John, because that would have been, it would have been, the pineapple would have been in Mickey Mouse shapes and everything else. This was, I think this is an all-encompassing arrangement.
Mickey style.
This was Hurls, this was Good Karma, this was Vin, this was everybody. Just a whole entire company reaching out.
I don't even know what to say. I think they're making a statement. That what they're saying is, we love you, and without you, the station crumbles.
Rick DiPietro and company.
And the company portion of the show, listen, if you're here, great. If you're not, that's fine, too.
And I'm trying to do you a solid. I could have come back on Friday, but I said, Dave's going to be working on a new deal here soon. Let me let him shine for a couple days.
What do you mean you could have come back on Friday? I would have welcomed you on Friday.
No, but I like to give you the space to really shine. So when we start going, contract negotiations, you start pointing to, I mean, look at this, these 4 days I went by myself. It was terrific.
RJ, I'm going to need you to break down the ratings over those 4 days. When those 4 days pour in, if those are highly rated shows, I want that sent to me in like certificate form.
Like that kind of party?
Dave's going to go Debo Samuel, just disappear, scrub ESPN.
I don't like how I'm being used.
Talk to my people.
That's right. I'm not a running back.
I'm Fred Astaire, baby.
That's a good line. all right, here is Ben Simmons on his very high IQ.
I think for me, my IQ is so high to, play with guys like Kai and Seth and Kev. Just watch them. I know how they play. I know how they want to play. And for me to just, get them in their spots and be a floor general, it's exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it next season is when I'm looking forward to it.
You're not looking forward to it. Yeah, you don't even want to play. Stop, please.
Here's my question for you. Take a moment, think about it. Do we ever see Ben Simmons play a game for the Nets?
That's a great question.
Because obviously it's not going to happen this year.
Well, who wants him, though? That's the thing.
Don't you think like in Oklahoma City, like a place where even if you don't play well, they love you because you're one of their own? That's the place for him.
No, I understand that. Yeah, but is that somewhere he wants to play, though?
Well, he didn't want to play in Philly. It doesn't feel like he wants to play here. I mean, what do you want to be, just mocked throughout the league, or do you want to go somewhere at least what you're able to do is put on full display and you can shine?
No, listen, I get what you're saying, but I mean, you're still talking about a guy who I think people have real questions about, whether or not he loves the game, whether or not he wants to play. Is he one of those guys that actually, loves being a basketball player, like loves being an NBA player, or loves all the things that come along with being an NBA player? Like, that's a real question, and then you sprinkle in this back, which has been a problem before, right? I mean, the back has been a problem before.
Correct.
But now this is, with all the rehab and everything else, I mean, the guy hasn't played since June 20th, didn't seem like a problem when they traded for him, and there was real optimism, right? So, I mean, the fact that Woj threw in that they were surprised and disappointed, I mean, he's getting that from somewhere, right?
Absolutely. Now,
and here's the thing. This is what I would understand, Dave. If Dave Rothenberg was Ben Simmons, and we realize that, this is a team that could win a championship. Maybe let's say the series is, is 2-1 ball, whatever it ends up being. We're at a point where we really feel like the Nets could make a long run. Okay, I don't want to rush you back because I don't want to jeopardize you for the rest of the playoffs. That's not the case. This is rubber's meeting road right now.
Oh yeah, no, you're in a if you don't win these games, you're done situation.
So, I mean, if you do go out there and you tweak it or whatever, listen, fine. You get the whole offseason to rest it or fix it or whatever we have to do.
Again, if the doctors came to him and said, if you go out there and you do something wrong, you're going to be shut down for a year. I get that. But if it's, if something goes wrong, then what? Then you're shut down? Then you have muscle spasms and you can't play?
You're shut down anyway.
You know what?
Season's over. You're shut down anyway.
It feels like it might be worth the risk, no? He doesn't want to.
I would imagine.
Here's the thing. Clearly, Kyrie, his number one priority is not basketball. You agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Ben Simmons' number one priority is not basketball. You agree with that?
I agree with that, yeah.
All right, so how in the world are you supposed to do anything when two of the three guys you're going to count on the most moving forward, their number one issues and concerns and things they want to accomplish have nothing to do with the game of basketball?
All right, let me get one thing straight, though. I would not put those two in the same conversation, though. They're not on the same level.
No, I think Kyrie's at a higher level than Ben Simmons.
Just as far as, me questioning whether or not, Ben Simmons is at the top of that.
Yes. I think Kyrie would like to play, but I think if he doesn't play, it's not the end of the world.
I can't stand guys like Ben Simmons. Like, I've played with guys like Ben Simmons. I can't stand those guys. No one in the locker room likes guys like that. because no one feels good.
Even though
I'm sure
he's very
KD doesn't
smart.
Feel great. No, it doesn't matter. I'm sure KD doesn't feel great.
I'm kidding.
Like I played with guys that would come in and they would legitimately like self-assess themselves to the trainer and be like, "Well, my left arm is 78%, my right shoulder," and it's like, "Dude, can you play or not?" Like you just told me that you're like almost 8, like you can play. Like right. This guy's limping
Nobody
around
wants a
here.
A laundry list of every single thing that's wrong with you. Either you can suck it up and get out there and play or you can't. I mean, you know what the thing is? I remember this. Game 7 Rangers Lightning. And you'll remember this too. Eastern Conference Finals. When Ryan McDonough couldn't play in that game 7, you remember?
Yeah.
The Garden, and I think they got shut out. And then you're like, oh, my God. And apparently he was hurt all postseason. And then you find out he was playing with a broken foot.
Yeah, look at the laundry. As soon as the NHL playoffs are over, look at the laundry list.
Right,
of,
and then you learn, like, this
injuries.
Guy had a torn groin or a torn hamstring or a broken hand or, you know, was playing with a broken orbital bone.
Broken jaw, whatever it
is. Broken foot. It's like, oh, my. These are warriors. And then Ben Simmons' back is not 100% right, so he can't get out there.
See, but that's the biggest difference, and I don't want to, this isn't a blanket statement on everybody, but that's the biggest difference that I started to notice late in my career, and I think it's even more now. And this, some in hockey, I think hockey's a little bit different, because I still think there is that level of I owe it to my guys to go out there and try to make it work. But when I first came into the NHL, the feeling was I owed it to the game. To always give you my best, to battle through injury. I owe it to my guys in that locker room. And it was more the group than just me personally. And that's changed. It's now, you know, what can the game give to me? The guys are more focused on themselves than they are.
You feel like that in hockey?
I don't feel like that as much in hockey. I think there's some of that.
Right.
But I think, basketball for sure. I think the NFL... But I understand some of the NFL stuff. But
well, NFL also the money's not guaranteed, so it's kind of a different animal, right?
It's a different animal, but I mean, RJ mentioned Deebo Samuel, like scrubbing that Kadarius Toney stuff. Like it's just there's more of it now.
We'll get to Kadarius Toney a little bit later on. Ben Simmons says no. What we're saying is untrue. He says, and here he is. He wants to play.
Body wise, it's, you know, once my body's ready, I want to be able to, you know, help this team win. You know, that's what I'm here for. So, I mean, it is what it is. I got to get on the floor and help this team win. You know, I've been traded to the Brooklyn Nets, and that's what they need me to do. So, that's my focus right now.
Well, that's not going to happen because they're probably going to lose tonight. You're not going to be out there, and you won't play for them the entire season. So, by the time he gets back on the court, we're looking at what, end of October of later this season?
Yeah, so a year in.
Or later this year. So we're going to be looking at like a year and 4 months, right?
Yep.
Since he's played a competitive basketball game.
Well, see, but that, I mean, even the fact that he didn't play in game 3. Like, I mean, the doctors gave you the epidural. They're letting you ramp it up. So, I mean, what they're telling us as fans, or me as a former athlete, is that they're not concerned about, you know, a long-term damage. Like, at this point, it's a pain thing. Can you play through the pain? Because we're not going to, I mean... The kid's only 25 years old. You have him for the next 3 years. Like, you're not going to jeopardize his future, but...
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they thought that that he could do real damage, then I totally agree. You don't play him. But if this is a pain management thing, you know, take a shot before the game. If you can go out there and play, great. If you can't, you know what? I can't. It hurts too much. I can't do it.
But this is what they're telling you. By letting him ramp it up the way that he ramped it up, and they're going to throw him into the playoffs, they're saying it to you, it's okay, it's a pain thing. We're not necessarily worried about further damage. So why not play game 3 then? Why can you play on Monday but you can't play on Saturday?
That was even before he was ruled out on Monday, right?
Well, because if you lose,
he wasn't gonna be able to play on Saturday. Why? Why couldn't you play? Because that was a big thing too. You can't play on Saturday. You can't give us 13 minutes. No one is asking him to come back and play 37 minutes, and you know, be an Iron Man. Go out there and sit for the first quarter. You know, give us 7 minutes in the second quarter, 4 minutes in the third quarter, 2 minutes in the fourth quarter, and that's it. And if it goes well, maybe we'll up it a little bit. You know what? Like I saw from Robert Williams in game 3. You can't do that? That's a guy that wanted to be back, that took baby steps, and now they'll play him more and more and more.
Off of surgery. Yeah, but that's and who knows how much it would have helped? I just mean as far as like ingratiating yourself in that locker room to the fan base, at least go out and try. Like, it's not, you don't expect it to look great. The guy hasn't played since June.
You got real issues here. You got real issues. All right, we got a lot of calls. Let's get to the calls. 1-800-919-3776. How do you feel about blowing right through the 530 break?
Calls.
Felt pretty good, didn't it?
It actually feels really good.
I told you. All right, let's go. Here we go. D-Rock in Brooklyn. Good morning, D-Rock. You're on 98.7.
It's not a good morning, but good morning anyhow. I'm pissed. I'm real pissed. Wells gets his information from Sean Marks. This is a fitting end to a crappy season. This is what pisses me off the most with this team. Sean Marks, he came from the Popovich tree. Greg Popovich routinely kicked Mike D'Antoni's butt. Udoka, same thing. Marks could have made Atkinson the next Popovich, but we got Nash, we got Amari Stoudemire on this bench, we had Mike D'Antoni. What a fitting end. We can't get anything right on the court. KD overthought the game 3. Game 4, there's going to be so many Celtics fans in there, I don't even think I could watch the game because I'd break my TV. This is just a fitting end. KD and Kyrie and Ben Simmons seem cut from the same cloth. And look at me, I was the one that was on Ben Simmons. I don't want to say it, I know we're on family radio. But,
yeah, we got you. So hang on a second, D-Rock. Yeah, and I think you're a good fan. You're not watching the game tonight?
I'm so pissed off.
Oh, come on.
Even look at game 3. Blake Griffin finally gets in there. Look at what he gave us. The solution was to go bigger. We playing 3-point guards. These guys switch on Steph Curry, who's 6'1". Easy points for Jason Tatum. Gets switched off into Patty Mills. And we're playing 3 of these guys at the same time. He doesn't realize we need to go bigger. I guess we'll see LaMarcus Aldridge tonight. It's just, I don't want to destroy my nice TV.
D-Rock, come on. And if you can't listen to the volume, you don't want to hear the Nets fans at Barclays, I can deal with that. Watch the game on mute. You can't not watch the game.
Celtics fans. He doesn't want to hear the Celtics fans.
Right, so watch the game on mute.
I can understand why he's frustrated, though.
Come on.
I absolutely understand why he's frustrated.
Frustrated, yes, but you need to watch the game. This is your team.
No, he'll watch the game, but I get what he's saying, man. I mean, it starts with the coaching. You get no coached. Steve Nash, I mean, he's... I know Santiago probably watched it. The first thing he thinks about with, you know, just watching Steve Nash clapping on the sidelines is Jason Garrett, but it's like, I mean, the guy's outclassed right now, man. He is.
But this is who they wanted.
The team is outclassed.
Yeah, they are. But I think a large portion of that is because they're being outcoached. And the ironic thing is, this is who they wanted. They didn't want Kenny Atkinson. They didn't want a tough coach. They didn't want a guy that was going to make him jump through, you know, hurdles and be this team that's going to be, you know, pushed to the brink. They wanted a guy, and they laughed about it. Remember? Oh, we can bring in anybody to coach this team. We're going to be so great. Well, how's it look now?
Well, they don't even need a coach. It wasn't they could bring in anybody. They didn't
one night
one.
It could be me. One night it could be Kevin. One night it could be Nash. Like, anybody can go. One, we might have a giveaway where we'll select out of a hat a guy in the stands. He'll come down. He'll coach one night. Anybody can coach this team.
I mean, Ty Lue would have been good. I mean, the fact that Udoka was on that bench, too, I think helps. And I get it, head coaching experience, but, I mean, he's been... You know, with Pop in San Antonio, he was on the Nets bench last. I mean, he has a firsthand knowledge of Kyrie and KD, and things that they do well and things that they don't do well.
And he's putting them in position.
And what Steve Nash does well and doesn't do well.
That's right. And he is taking everyone out of their game right now. You know who's going to be happy? D in Queens. Got to be very pleased. Good morning, D. You're on 98.7.
Yo, what's up, man? How you doing, fella?
I can see the smile on your face, and I can even see you right now.
I have friends who gamble who have been blowing up my phone since yesterday asking me for tips. Because I've been calling this since
you
January.
Have. You've been and right
even,
on.
And even before the series started, everyone was like, oh, this is going to be a war. And I said 5 games. And even then, people laughed at me. And I'm like, please don't cut me off, by the way. But there's a lot to unpack here.
But D, let me say something here for a second. It was shaping up like it could have been a war. Like after what you saw in game one, that. Don't say that. I mean, it doesn't look that way now because it's like they, I mean.
I
they
called
ripped.
It before the series.
No, I know you say that now, but, I mean, this series could be very different right now if a couple things happened, especially in game one.
Okay. Not going to argue. It is what it is. But, you know, the Kyrie effect. chased off Harden. And mind you, the way the Nets are playing are exactly the way they were playing before Harden got there. He was the one who organized the team. So you have Harden coming off a major injury. They were playing him 40 minutes. Patty Mills, who's old and had a bunch of deep playoff runs and was coming off the Olympics. That was your starting backcourt. And then the whole second half of the year and in the playoffs, he has no legs. And I mean, this is what they deserve. They deserve. And when people said, oh, the Nets won the trade, I laughed. And I even called it and said, no, because the Sixers knew what they had in Ben Simmons. Why do you think they gave the Nets all of that? People's like, they gave him too much for Harden. Yeah, he may be reduced, but at least he's present and he can organize a team. You know, you're seeing it now. Houston has had the worst record in the league since he's left. The Nets are a debacle, and Maxey is a whole different player next to Harden. Like, you got to give the man his props. And the thing is, that's when they played dumb like they didn't know this was going on. His very first press conference of the season, he showed that he was pissed off about the Kyrie situation, and Kevin Durant didn't care. All this falls on Kevin Durant because he was overly loyal to Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving is a destructive force.
He really is. Back to the call, D. Could you imagine putting all your eggs in the Kyrie Irving basket,
no.
by the way?
No, I couldn't imagine leaving Golden State. Why would you leave Golden State?
I think he wanted to branch out on his own and prove that he can win elsewhere as the number one guy.
Yeah, but why? You were the number one guy. It's not going to be your team because, I mean, it's Steph Curry's team. But still, I mean, you're the finals MVP. You established yourself as the best player on that team.
He wanted it to be his team. That's what he wanted.
Yeah, but even go back to that, though. Like, he would clash with Steve Nash. Like, why are we running all these plays? Just want to hoop. Well, we run these plays because, you know, when we get to the postseason and teams start... You know, start right. scheming for us. We got to run some plays. This is what we do.
I think you got to look at that, too. I mean, everyone loves Steve Kerr, right? Thinks he's a great coach.
Yeah.
He's won. Everyone wants to play for him. But Kevin Durant didn't love him, right?
No, they clashed a little bit.
Exactly. So maybe Durant's not as easy as is portrayed.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, and this is why I think a lot of people look at the series and I know Boston's defense has been great, right? Size, physicality, all of it. But the reality is that, I mean, Kevin Durant took 11 shots in a must-win game, right? I mean, go back to last season in the postseason where, you know, Kyrie hurts himself, Harden's on one leg, and they're playing the eventual champs who are a big physical team that plays good defense. I mean, KD went and he played all 48 minutes, went for 49.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Right.
Goes for 48.
They lost that series last year, but you didn't think to yourself, God, they've embarrassed themselves. If anything, just the opposite. With the lack of players that they had available to go out there and give you that, kudos to them. Great job by them.
Boston has taken the Nets' soul, is what they've done.
Yeah.
By shutting down KD and KD looking the way that he looks, because for anyone that thought like Greeny was on this, I think Stephen A. picked the Nets, is that, well, how could they not win this series? As good as Boston has been, one of the best defensive teams in the league, they're, what, 26-6 in the last 32? Well, no, they got KD and Kyrie.
Yeah,
that should be enough.
They want to score.
Well, then you see what KD looks like. I mean, if you're on that team, well, what chance do we have? If they can do that to KD, what chance do we have in this series? You got none.
None. And he's been taken totally out of his game. Who'd you pick?
I went Boston. You picked first, so I said I'll be different. I went Nets in seven.
I mean, listen, that could still happen.
No, it's over.
Still right there for you.
It's a wrap.
You don't think they have any chance to win this game?
No, they lost they lost that opportunity in games one and two.
You remember after game one? So were you here after game one?
Yeah.
You weren't.
No,
you were
I was here
after game one. It was all, you know, it's great because KD was awful.
Kyrie was great,
but he's not going to do that again. And he was even worse in game two, and he was awful in game three. And now Kyrie has been bad.
Yeah, that surprises me too. But I understand what D was saying. I mean, that was the big thing that James Harden did for this team. Well, and Kyrie played it off like, okay, you can be the point guard. But I mean, that's Kyrie looks to score. Like, he's not looking to really like facilitate the offense. And then you saw later in the season where, you know, KD kind of took on that role where he was getting guys going early. But I don't know, man. You can call it, you know, these guys being tired or whatever it is. But I mean, when you look at, you know, in a must win, and I go back to this is your season, man. This is your game three at home. This is your season. You lose this game, it's a wrap. No team has ever come back from 3-0 and And that's Durant and Kyrie combined for less shots than Jason Tatum.
Yeah, was all,
that's not acceptable.
Completely outplayed by Tatum and Brown.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.